Welcome to the podcast series for AJP Heart and Circulatory Physiology. I'm your host, Kara Hansel-Keehan. Today we'll discuss the article by Kara Namouni et al. Titled, Ethanol Exposure Alters Early Cardiac Function in the Looping Heart, a Mechanism for Congenital Heart Defects. This article published online November 22, 2013. My guests today are Associate Editor Leon DeWint, Lead author Michiko Watanabe, and expert Wolfram Zimmermann. Let's get started.
Thanks, Kara. Indeed, we're going to discuss the great study from Mitch's lab. And maybe just to start off, Mitch, could you give us a brief outline of the study and the main results?
The take-home message would be that we have a model of fetal alcohol syndrome in which congenital heart defects result. And that would be one shot of ethanol at a very early stage that results in cardiac defects. Now, what we wanted to know is how early is there a functional defect? We used OCT, optical coherence tomography, and we used Doppler OTC. So it is essentially like ultrasound, but we use light waves instead of sound waves to detect what's going on.
So as our outside expert in the field, Wolfram, could you give us your first impression of this study?
Well, I find that extremely interesting. I was wondering whether or not you would expect similar changes also in other mammals. You have described in your manuscript that similar observations were made in the zebrafish, but heart physiology in zebrafish and also chicken is not exactly like you would expect it in a mammal.
We haven't done that yet. We haven't looked at mouse embryos. The difficulty with looking at a mouse is that once you try to get to the embryo to detect anything at these early stages, the physiology is compromised, so you have abnormal function. And that's why we chose the avian model. It's four-chambered, and surprisingly, its physiology is more similar to humans than the mouse physiology.
You mentioned that ethanol is blocking the sodium-potassium ATPase and potentially also Calef-2A. Do you think that those are targets which could be used to protect women from alcohol-induced damage of their unborn fetuses?
We understand that there are many different laboratories working on the molecular mechanisms of fetal alcohol syndrome. And there are also rescuing agents like folate and an antagonist of choline. And we are not proposing that we would find the molecular mechanism, but that by whatever molecular mechanism, the function is abnormal. We would then try to target function and try to normalize that. So we would predict the following, that if you added folate or other reagents that might be able to reverse the defect, that they would normalize the function.
One of the defects that you saw is a defect in looping. That's a very early defect that is, if I'm not mistaken, seen in GATA4 or NKX2.5, the fission knockout mice. Do you suspect that maybe these factors could be also involved or influenced by alcohol exposure?
The looping was a very surprising finding for us because we weren't expecting it. However, when we talked to people who had studied neural crest ablation embryos, they also saw looping defects.
So, Wolfram, could I ask you something about the differences in alcohol metabolism between mammalian and avian species?
Well, Mitch is stating in her manuscript that she is using a concentration which is matched to a concentration identified in patients or in probands probably who have been drinking. This is what I understood. But you're right. Typically, the alcohol is metabolized. It is passing through the liver and then is penetrating into the embryo. So the mechanism or the path of the ethanol to the embryo under normal conditions is very different from the exposure of the quail embryo to ethanol. But I assume, and Mitch I think can confirm this, that the concentration added to the embryo is the concentration which is expected to reach the embryo also in utero.
The concentration of ethanol that we administered is supposed to be equivalent to a drinking binge at these early stages. And this would be before the mother knew that she was pregnant. Now, this is very worrying because, as I said, these mothers often don't know that they're pregnant at that time and that they should avoid ethanol.
So, Wolfram, what is your take on the societal impact of this publication?
Well, first of all, I think it's important to reemphasize how common fetal alcohol syndrome really is. And maybe Mitch can tell us how common this is, how commonly this is observed. Obviously, the study could also be used to increase awareness for the problems that are being caused by alcohol consumption during pregnancy. If Mitch would find a way to protect the heart, she would also, or her group, would also have to find a way to administer a protective agent in time to protect the embryo from any harm.
Mitch, any comments on that?
Yes. The first point about how prevalent fetal alcohol syndrome, and I would also include fetal alcohol spectrum disorders, which is a wider umbrella term. That incidence is 1% of the population. The other thing is that we have known about how harmful ethanol exposure is, and yet the drinking has not stopped. So people who are pregnant still drink, and as I said before, these mothers may not know they're pregnant when they're drinking, and those are the stages that are the most sensitive to creating defects. I also wanted to talk about some of the potential rescue strategies. And my colleague, Christy Lanask, who's down in South Florida, has been studying the role of folate and myo-inositol in reversing the congenital heart defects. Now, we already know that folate is very useful for preventing neural tube defects, but at a higher concentration, it may also be effective in preventing congenital heart defects.
So maybe ingesting slightly higher amounts of folate, would that be a strategy that could reach guidelines for women?
The folate is just one strategy. There are many other potential ways to go. And the other point I wanted to make is when you find out that the function is abnormal, however it became abnormal, we were thinking about trying to rescue whatever we could at the later stage by then trying to normalize function.
Mitch, I really like your paper. I find it very interesting, very educational, and I think it is. It really helps to create awareness for the problems that are being caused by alcohol consumption in pregnancy. And I truly hope that you will find a way to rescue some of the lost functionality. I'm still not quite sure how you want to do it and how you want to do it later in the human. You mentioned bioengineering applications, laser-based simulation of the heart, increasing the beating frequency of the heart. How do you envision that this will be developed?
Well, we're thinking way ahead right now. We think we might be able to rescue the avian embryo because it's totally available to our tools. But we have a long ways to go before we're going to apply anything we do to the human. We have the tools now to study function, and I think that's been ignored for a long time because the technology wasn't around.
Mitch and Wolfram, to sum up the discussions in this podcast, we concluded that this study demonstrates functional effects of alcohol-induced early and late congenital heart defects in an avian model of embryonic heart development that correlates with the early stages in the first trimester of pregnancy in humans. Now, this paper has several ramifications for cardiovascular physiology and epidemiology. First, the unique combination of this open model of cardiogenesis with high-resolution tomography will allow future experimental interventional testing of high doses of folate, other forms of vitamins, or even pacing technology to address the question whether alcohol-provoked cardiac abnormalities are somehow preventable or amenable. This study also begs for more in-depth characterization of the molecular changes that are sensitive to the applied doses of alcohol. In this regard, the scientist can build on a rich literature of collective knowledge on various regulatory factors that are known to be crucial for cardiac loop and concussion development. And finally, Mitch's study also bears a clear cautionary note. The doses of alcohol used in this study can already be reached in humans after consumption of 4 glasses of wine, which is not completely uncommon for a Friday afternoon happy hour, suggesting that the prevalence of alcohol-induced congenital heart defects in human fetuses could be much higher than previously thought in women of childbearing ages. And this pleas for further limitations in clinical guidelines of alcohol consumption for women in childbearing ages who do not use anticonceptives or who may not always be aware that they are pregnant. And with that, I give the word back to Kara. Kara?
You've been listening to an AJP Heart and Circ podcast. For more podcasts, visit us online at ajpheart.physiology.org. Thank you.